So I think just a couple announcements. And so for those of us, as well as maybe some of us, if you're going to be listening to this, as we transition into the new year, first of all, we have the One Desire Fast coming up. Usually at the beginning of every year, we want to focus on starting the new year with fasting and really seeking the Lord. And so this year, traditionally, we've done 2 weeks, but this year we're going to do 3 weeks. We're going to try to challenge ourselves a little bit. So it's going to be starting from the 19th, and it's going to go all the way through the 6th. And then we have a congregational retreat coming up February 6th through the 8th. So please keep that in mind, okay? Well, hopefully you guys had a wonderful Christmas season. Maybe you can turn to your neighbor. If you haven't said hi to them yet, maybe you can say hi to them. And maybe we can share like one thing that you are thankful from this past year, right? So whether it's, I don't know, job-related, family related, or just whatever it may be, one thing that you are thankful for from this past year. So can we turn to our neighbor, greet them, and then just share that one thing real quick? All right, well, today's a smaller crowd, so we're going to try to make this a little bit more interactive. And so we've been focusing on the Advent season. I know that this is technically after Christmas, but we want to finish off our series because really this season, we've been talking about how this season really helps us to focus on the hope, joy, peace, and the love that we have in Christ. And so I have four candles up here, and usually during the Advent season, each of the candles represent hope, joy, peace, and love. And so we're going to try to make this a little bit more interactive. There's going to be some response time. We're going to read some of these verses together. Hopefully you guys had the handout. Portions that are bold, that's what I'm going to ask you guys to read together. So I'm going to go ahead and light this first candle. All right. So this first candle, it symbolizes our hope in Christ. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so when I say, why do we light this candle? We want to all read together the congregation part. All right, so I'm going to ask us this question. Why do we light this candle?
This candle reminds us of the promise that a Messiah would come, bringing peace and love to the world.
Amen. Let's read Isaiah 9:2 together. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Okay, so that's the first candle. The second candle. The second candle symbolizes our joy in Christ. Psalm 97:11-12 says, light is shown, sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Once again, why do we light this candle?
This candle reminds us that Jesus' birth brings joy to all who believe in him. So we join all of creation to celebrate.
Okay, let's read the Matthew 2 passage together. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Amen. This third candle symbolizes our peace in Christ. John 1:4-5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Why do we light this candle?
This candle reminds us that Jesus made it possible for us to be forgiven and to have peace with God.
Let's read Isaiah 9:6 together. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this last candle, This last candle symbolizes God's love for us. 1 John 4:10 says this, and this is actually today's passage, says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sin." Apostle John reminds us that this is what real love is. Once again, in the New Living Translation, it says, "This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." And this is really important for us to understand, right? Because John is saying, no, when you think about love, this is real love. Because I think in our culture, when we hear the word love, it has so many different meanings. Sometimes it's not very clear. So for example, there's the holiday season. I'm sure many of us spent time with our friends or loved ones or whatnot. Or maybe we remember just God's love for us. And so in that relational context, we talk about how we love people. I love you. And so that holds a certain meaning in our culture. But then we also use that word to describe other things. I mean, maybe some of you had a really good meal over the holiday season. We went to watch Zootopia 2. By the way, great movie. I would highly recommend it. And we loved it. So we describe something like that as, man, we really love the movie. We really love going together as a family. And so I think that word love is muddled a little bit in our context, right? Because we use the same word to describe our loved ones, and we use that same word to describe an experience that we loved. But John reminds us that this is what love from God, from his point of view, this is what love looks like. He says, this is real love. And then he says, this is how God demonstrated that love for us. He said, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. Now listen to what pastor and author Max Lucado, I think he is a wonderful and creative writer. Listen to what he says about God demonstrating his love for us. He says this, would you do what Jesus did? Right? Think about that. Would you do what Jesus did? He swapped a spotless castle for a grimy stable. He exchanged the worship of angels for the company of killers. He nursed from a breast and was clothed in a diaper. If you were God, would you? I wouldn't, but Christ did. If you knew that those you loved would laugh in your face, would you still care? If you knew that the tongues you made would mock you, the mouth you made would spit at you, the hands you made would crucify you, would you still make them? Jesus did. He humbled himself. He went from commanding angels to sleeping in the straw, from holding star to clinging Mary's fingers. Why? Because this is what love does. It puts the beloved before itself. Your soul was more important than his blood. Your eternal life was more important than his earthly life. Your place in heaven was more important to him than his place in heaven. So he gave up his so that you could have yours. He loves you that much. And because he loves you, you are of prime importance to him. I think that's a really fascinating question, right? Would you have done what Jesus did for us? And I don't know if you caught what Pastor Max Lucado says about God's love. He says, it's a love that puts the beloved before itself. And I think that is what's so amazing about God's love, that it's a love that puts us before himself. And John makes it very clear that we are not deserving of that love. Not that we love God. Despite our shortcomings, despite our failures, not that we love God, but God loved us anyway. My old professor from seminary, Dr. D.A. Carson, this is how he describes it. So think about what you mean when you tell someone, I love you, right? Maybe we mean that, well, I have to love you because you're part of my family, right? Or maybe we say, I love you because there's certain things that you offer to me, certain benefits that I derive from that relationship. But Dr. Carson says it this way. When God tells us, I love you, God is saying to us, your sins are so many, and your acts are like filthy rags before my eyes. Your unfaithfulness to me is so appalling in my sight. And frankly, no matter what you do on your own, it'll never measure up to my standards. But you know what? I love you anyways. Not because you are attractive, but because it is my nature to love. And my love for you is sovereign. I've set my affections on you before the foundation of the universe. Not because you are wiser or better or stronger than others, but because in grace I have chosen to love you. You are mine and you will be transformed. Nothing in all creation can separate you from my love that is mediated through Jesus Christ. Unquote. And I think that's so encouraging to remember that God's love for us is sovereign. In other words, God loves us not necessarily because we are deserving of that love, but God loves us because this is who he is. That he is sovereign in his affections for us. And think about that. Before even the foundations were set in this universe, that God has chosen to love every single one of us. God fully knowing all the mistakes that we would make. God fully knowing all the times that we would sin against him, that God says, I have set my affections on you. And that's why we can have this confidence in knowing, as Paul describes, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we think about the birth of Christ, this Advent season, not only the peace, the joy, and the hope. But when we think about God's love, the birth of Jesus reminds us that there's nothing that we have done in the past, nothing that we can do in the present, and nothing we can ever possibly do in the future that will separate us from the love of God, that God is committed to us. Maybe some of us, God wants to remind us once again of just this incredible love that was demonstrated for us. And this incredible commitment and sacrifice that God has made. It reminds us that Jesus came as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Our sins, our rebellions, our shortcomings that separates us from God. Because God wanted us to be in relationship with him. God wanted us to be renewed and restored. God takes that initiative. And God makes a way. The birth of Christ reminds us that while we were undeserving of his love, that Jesus came anyways to die for us. There's a BBC article that I read yesterday. It was really moving. And when I was reading this article, I thought, man, and we know that in this love, there isn't this perfect love that we demonstrate to others. But as I was reading this article, I thought about, man, this is the closest that you can get to really experiencing this unconditional love of God that is rooted in his grace. So this article talks about a couple who invited a man at Christmas into their home. And so when they first invited him in, they thought, okay, maybe he's going to be here with us for a day. But that man ended up staying with them for 45 years. And so it was 1975. It was Christmas. Rob and Diane Parsons. In the city of Cardiff, I guess it's in England somewhere. They were preparing for Christmas, and they heard a knock on their door. And so Rob went to answer the door, and when he opened the door, standing at his door was Ronnie Lockwood. And Ronnie was someone that everyone in their town kind of knew. Rob himself occasionally saw Ronnie at Sunday school as a boy. Now, something about Ronnie. Ronnie was autistic. He was homeless. He was abandoned when he was 15. And he kind of grew up in the streets. Sometimes he was homeless. Sometimes he was in shelters. He moved from job to job to job. And I guess Rob would sometimes see Ronnie at some of the youth clubs that he ran. But when Ronnie knocked on their door that Christmas morning, Rob and his wife, Diane, decided to invite Ronnie in for that day. And the article describes how to make Ronnie feel more comfortable with them, they told their extended family who was coming over for Christmas that day to actually buy gifts for Ronnie. And so when they gave these gifts to Ronnie, Ronnie started crying because this was the first time ever in his life that someone actually gave him a Christmas gift. And so as they opened up their home for Ronnie that day, he's just been part of their lives since, for the past 45 years. Rob would help Ronnie to get a job. Rob was a lawyer, but before he went to work, he would drop Ronnie off every day at work. And every evening, he would pick up Ronnie, and talks about how it wasn't always easy. Sometimes it was hard. But they talk about how Ronnie ended up being such a blessing to them. And here's an excerpt from the article. It says, and I quote, only once did the couple consider supporting Ronnie to live independently a few years after he moved in. As their two children were growing older and space felt limited in their one-bedroom home, they approached Ronnie's room to suggest him getting a flat down the road from them. But as they entered, he repeated that familiar question, have I done a bad thing? Rob said, Diane hushed him out of the room, burst into tears, and said, I can't do it. A few nights later, Ronnie entered their room and asked, we three are firm friends, aren't we? I said, yes, Ronnie, we three are firm friends, said Rob. And we will be together forever, won't we? He asked. And there was a moment's pause, probably too long. I looked across to Di, and I said, yes, Ronnie, we will be together forever. And we were. Ronnie died in 2020 at the age of 75 after suffering a stroke, and the couple say they miss him terribly. For 45 years, they housed this man, and they demonstrated unconditional love. And as I was reading this article, I thought about, man, in many ways, this is an imperfect example of the way that God has loved us. I think sometimes when we come to God, we wrestle with that question, right? Have I done a bad thing? Because in many ways, we feel undeserving of that love. Many ways we question, can God truly love us? Just like Ronnie, who struggled with that question of, why doesn't anyone want me? Have I done a bad thing? But God answers that question for us by sending his one and only Son. And through Jesus' birth, his life, and his death and resurrection, God says, nothing will separate you from my love. God loves us, not because we are deserving of that love, but God loves us because he has chosen to set his affections on us. So once again, why do we light this candle? Let's read that last response together. The last candle reminds us that God demonstrated his love by sending his son Jesus to be born in a manger and suffer and die for our sins, so we may live forever with him. And let's read John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. I know that this is the last Sunday of the year, and so just want to give us a moment. I don't know whether you want to close your eyes or if you want to journal or if you just want to think through a little bit. But I want to give us a little bit of time to reflect on this past year. And not just reflecting on this past year, but really reflecting on the ways that God has loved us. Think about the times that you've actually asked, what have I done wrong? Maybe questions that we've asked and really thinking about, am I really worthy of love? And when we wrestle with these questions, God answers for us again and again that yes, you are. Because we are his. And so I want to give us a moment just to reflect in this quiet space, as we think about the season, or through the birth of Christ, that God demonstrated his love for us. In what ways has God demonstrated his love for us over and over again? How has the love of God sustained you? How has the love of God empowered you? How might the love of God, even now, be encouraging you? Let the Holy Spirit speak his heart for you. And as he speaks, listen. And as he speaks, stand in awe of who God is. God has sent his son to be a sacrifice for our sins. So that you and I would know what real love is. And as God reminds us of that love, can I just invite us to respond? Just in the quietness of this moment, you don't have to necessarily pray out loud, but just lifting up prayers of thanksgiving. Just like Ronnie. There's nothing that he did to deserve this couple's love. But he experienced their commitment to him. He experienced their unconditional love, unwavering, where they invited him into his life, into their lives, to be part of their family. That's what God does. The season reminds us that God invites us in. So before we close out this family worship time together, can I just invite us a little bit to just lift up prayers of thanksgiving? And as you lift up prayers of thanksgiving, also pray that the season of joy and hope and peace and love, it's not just for the season, but it's also for the season that is to come. That God will continue to be at work and speaking his joy, his peace, his hope, and his love into our lives. So let's pray together a little bit, church. Okay, let's do that. Let's respond to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray together.